episode when I told you that winter is coming.
I remember you mentioning something about the weather.
And I was like, oh, that was such an overused joke.
But no, I'm serious. He's actually here.
Now?
Winter.
Winter, the Yeti, the snow Yeti.
The warden of winter.
Are you telling me that right now the King of the North is visiting our show?
Well, I don't know if that's how he likes to be referred to.
You have
to ask him yourself.
How do we formally introduce you, Mr. Phil Bicking? What's the formal way to do it?
You could call me Phil, a.k.a. Winter.
Hmm.
How about that?
Phil Aka Winter is here. Winter Phil is here.
Winter Phil.
Winter Phil.
I like that. Let's do that.
Okay.
We told you guys that we had some cool stuff coming about the show that we all do a podcast about. Having its red carpet premiere as if it were some big ass movie. Like, how crazy is that?
Yeah.
Well, basically, it's like 10 little movies, so let's be fair.
I know, but I saw the footage of the event, and
it was pretty amazing.
I've never seen anything like this for a TV show before.
They rolled out the red carpet, literally and figuratively.
I love the big wait. We were all like, what's he gonna say?
You're like, what is he going to say? Hanging on his every word.
Well, I suppose that we can take this time to officially tell everyone in the goo listening ship audience plane of existence, as it were, that marking today, I forget the actual day. Eric, help me out. What's today?
Stardate 501/4.3.
There he is. we officially go public with our announcement that from this point forward, Game of Owns will now be presented by winnerscoming.net. And we have decided to join each other with wedding bands and jump down the yellow brick road together for Game of Thrones-ness.
Yes, we're joining forces.
Are we going to fight crime?
We may fight some Lannisters. I don't know.
Can I be the Tin Man?
You need to be like the head of our Kingsguard.
Wrong series.
No, it's funny how this all came to be, because when we started the show, you know, we always really dug your website and stuff, and you know, long. I mean, we're not going to bore the listeners with the way these courtship things go. Watch like one of those random teen movies, 16 Candles. It pretty much went exactly that
there
way.
There were flowers and chocolates.
Some mixtapes.
Lots of Peter Gabriel.
Over our heads. Yeah.
I stood outside Phil's window with the boombox over my head.
Yeah, I could see you doing that.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful
Serenade
moment.
Serenade him with the Tyrion quotes, you know, the way to every fan's heart.
But you started winnerscoming.net.
I did. It was, let's see, I guess, 3.5 years ago now.
Damn, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a while.
What was your inspiration?
Inspiration? I guess it was
there's little thing called Game of
Thrones. Wait. The books?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's good. It is good timing, but I mean to say, like, had you started at other websites before, or did you just decide to run with this, or what, you know, what was it?
Right. No, I hadn't ever done any websites before, and it was just a case of me being really excited about HBO announcing that they were going to be making the pilot, and I wanted to know everything there was, you know, everything that was going to be happening with the development of the pilot, with the casting and everything. So there are a bunch of fan sites out there dedicated to the books, obviously, but I thought it'd be cool that there should be a place that's just about the show, and, you know, I could just post every single news item or rumor or anything having to do with the show in one central place for all the fans, or anyone else who was interested in. And it was almost more for me just to keep up with it and you know, be passionate about it, but it kind of just grew. Sure. And
how long had you been a book fan before you heard about the show?
Let's see. I first read the books, it was like right before A Feast for Crows came out, which was, I guess, 2005, wow. I think.
Oh, so I love these kind of stories. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think it was like a year before that. So it was like 2004 I read the first three books.
Wow.
that were out at the time. And then was waiting for A Feast for Crows like everyone else. And then that came out. And then somewhere in between Feast for Crows and Dance with Dragons was, you know, the show and the news about the show. And that's when I started the website.
What would you say is your favorite book so far?
A Storm of Swords.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So that's exciting then, because that's the season we're getting into.
Yeah, very exciting. I'm very excited to see this season coming up and next season as well. They'll be using, you know, be splitting it into kind of two seasons. This book is so massive and so packed with awesome moments that they had to dedicate two full seasons to it almost. So, yeah, these next two seasons coming up, I'm really, really looking forward to.
Selena hates when I say this, but do you feel as if...
I'm just.
This is the season. I mean,
this is guys. This is the season.
It's not just me that says.
You
I mean,
the
a lot
showrunners.
Of them,
oh my god.
It feels like that though, because having read the books, this I would say it's the most anticipated season. This season and next season, probably of any of them, maybe barring the first one.
Yeah, yeah. I would tend to agree.
But I don't like that because it's like, then what happens next?
After.
People are like, yeah, no, but it's not as exciting now. Like, no.
Yeah.
You have to keep the excitement going. It can never reach its peak. You know what I mean? So every time the producers are like, this is what we've been, this is why we started the show. I'm always sitting there going like, but season five.
Yeah. What are we going to do when you get to that point? You just be like,
exactly.
Eh, well, you know, we did season three and four, you know,
we've done everything we wanted to do. Exactly.
Here's 10 hours of Tyrion, you know, eating roast turkey or something.
Hey, some lamprey pie. Just
yeah,
delicious.
Exactly. And some lemon cakes.
Hey,
we'll call it a day.
It's so funny. I'm talking directly to you guys listening to the show. You know, we've been working on this with Phil for a bit because, you know, it's a fun idea and we're huge fans of what they're doing and it was just a fun mix and a good fit and yada, yada, yada. But we decided to turn this conversation that you're hearing right now, which is all of us just talking about Game of Thrones to each other, like very non-episode format-y, just to turn it to an episode. So, hey, we're just talking about Thrones. It's actually kind of funny to me. It's like,
yeah.
What's your favorite book? Well,
the reason I asked, well, we just finished our 60 some episode recap.
Yeah, that was pretty epic.
First book. So thank you. You know, it was just all of us really chipping in, but we just completed our read through the first book and I hadn't read all the books. We've all seen the entire show so far. Sans the first episode of the next season. We're not all on the same page there.
Yeah,
but,
come on.
But yeah, so we just read the books, and you know what? I like them.
Yeah, no,
that's good.
Well, that's good to hear.
It makes sense.
70 some episodes in.
Well, you know, the previous book series I was attached to, and I still am, but it's Harry Potter, and these books are a lot different, I guess, tonally and in style.
Indeed.
So, especially with the changing perspective.
Yes. It,
what's interesting, Phil, is that Eric's favorite character is Theon Greyjoy.
Love this.
and this is only from having seen him in the show, not necessarily having read about him in the series.
Interesting.
In my defense, secondary favorites include Stannis Baratheon.
That's not a defense.
And Tywin Lannister.
Also not a defense.
What are your thoughts on this, Phil?
Wow, you're certainly your own man.
Eric takes pride in dissenting.
Thank you, sir. I am bowing so low to you.
Yeah. Going against the grain. No, I actually really like the Greyjoys. I'm a big House Greyjoy fan.
Okay.
Oh, so you got a little teammate, Eric.
Mm.
Yeah. Finally, someone to join me in the Game of Thrones ascent.
So as far as the show is concerned, we're going to be joined regularly by people like Phil. And Phil, how many of the writers from your site do you think are going to want to hop on from time to time?
Yeah, they all sounded really excited to be on. We have three other writers that help me contribute to the site pretty regularly. And they're all excited to hop on every once in a while and give their thoughts on the latest news and the episodes.
So that's cool. It's always exciting adding more people to the mix, and that just means a little bit more depth for you guys listening. But for me personally, I'm going to have to say that I'm looking forward to hanging out with Ours is the Fury the most. I don't know anything about the person, but all I know is that someone's screen name is Ours is the Fury. Hell yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's Sue. She is very opinionated, and I think she'll be a great addition to the podcast whenever you have her on.
Yeah, that'll be fun. We're hanging out, and actually, really, we were kind of poking fun at Phil earlier because, well, Selena wanted to hear all about it, but she really couldn't because we're looking forward to it so much. But while I was doing my stuff last night with this band, Phil wasn't at the premiere, but I felt like you were throwing your own party at your house. Like
I was.
Must have been. Right, just something crazy because you watched episode one.
I watched the first episode of the third season last night, or I guess couple nights ago, the same time that everyone in LA was watching it.
Send your hate mail to contact@gamemomes.com.
No, but that's really cool. Well, you're one step closer to the end then. More waiting for you.
That is true.
Take the glass half empty approach.
I'm super jealous of you.
I love Stannis. I love Dion. You're getting old.
Tywin.
Yeah. I actually have, not to brag too much, but I have the first 4 episodes.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yeah. So a part of me wants to just watch them all in one sitting. But if I do that, then I have to wait so long for the 5th episode. So I'm going to try and space it out. So
I think that's wise. But so general impressions, how the hell was it? Was it good to be back or to see it back? Or
yeah,
was it just?
It was. Yeah, exactly. Good to be back, I guess, is a good way to say it. I mean, the thing that hit me most was just the production values are just so good on this show. I mean, they were good in season 1, even better in season 2, and season 3, they just raised it up another level. It's like, you know, the sets and the costumes and the effects, the cinematography, it's like watching a movie, but, you know, 10 one-hour movies, I guess. And yeah, that was just amazing to see. That was probably the biggest takeaway for me. And, you know, I don't want to spoil too much of the actual storyline, but I'll say that.
Go ahead.
So it starts off.
Because, like, we'll take care of that in post.
There's a thunderstorm and swords are just showering from the sky.
Yeah. Well, I did. I wrote kind of my initial impressions down on the site on winterscoming.net. I didn't put any major spoilers or anything in there. So if anyone wants to go check that out,
put that in the show notes.
It was a good episode. A lot of, not a lot of action, but, there are some tense scenes, some intense scenes, and, some nice setting of the table for the season to come.
Would you say that there were scenes inside of tents as well?
There was a scene inside of a tent.
A lot of intense scenes and intense
were
scenes.
Were they exactly. Clearly tents?
Yes. All manners of intents and intense.
Perfect. No, that's cool. Yeah.
So how do you feel it compared with, let's say, the first couple chapters of the book? Do you think it's pretty consistent, or do you think they're kind of going their own way, similar to what they did with season 2?
They're following the main storyline, but they're kind of using a different path to get there with certain characters and in certain of the plot lines. There are a lot of scenes that aren't necessarily in the book, but could have been in the book. And there are other scenes that are kind of totally different than what was in the book, but that I see kind of where they're going with it and why they're making that change and why they're adapting it that way. So the main, you know, general story beats are all going to be hit, but it just might be a little bit different than what you get in the book.
Yeah, this is something we encountered with podcasting about Harry Potter too for the longest time, when the books were coming out and the movies alongside them, and of course they changed stuff. And, you know, these books are way longer than Potter books, and of course they're being formatted, you know, quite differently into a TV show and not movies, but still, you know, being canon compliant in some ways and then disregarding in other ways. But it just has always remained clear to me that the TV show creators are faithful to the spirit. If not, you know, obviously they're very, they're big fans of the source material.
Yeah. Yeah. You can clearly see that and see that they're remaining true to the spirit of the books, and that, you know, for an adaptation, the story is pretty damn close. I mean, a lot of times you get an adaptation that's like, you know, way, way off. But in this case, it's pretty close and impressive that they're able to keep it so close considering the scope of the books.
It's so interesting to me when I think about the entire thing, because like I was saying earlier about the red carpet event feeling so much like the premiere of a new film, even though these are well, incredibly produced pieces of TV that basically just feel like a series of small movies, at the end of the day, it's still a TV show. And it's so interesting to me that this not only transcends that so strongly that something like a premiere that is more than just a cast party, but is an actual media event is happening. The same place that they're doing massive film reviews on other parts of the year. But we're able to see this book series be represented so much better in the medium of a television show rather than a movie. Like, I think we've talked about it alone, Eric. Not to keep bringing up Potter, but to imagine if you know, one of the Potter books was done on an episode to episode format versus a film. I mean, you're going to be seeing stuff like the teachers and walking to classes and like the stuff that's glossed over and like montage-y pieces inside of a film with music. But with Thrones, we're able to be introduced to all of this character building rather than just seeing the big juicy points, you know?
Oh yeah. My biggest thrill is that HBO and George R. R. Martin and the show creators have all seemed to have reached this agreement about how they can still be gritty and still show what it is in these books that makes them so unique. And just they found a format to do that, which is really engaging, even into its, you know, third season. And it was like, we were talking about this before, most of the second season, you know, building up to Blackwater, there are these scenes that just take place in rooms, you know, Tywin and Arya, for instance, you know, almost an entire episode. But the characters are so engaging. The actors are doing such a great job that I love watching this show because I am engrossed, even if they're just reading the phone book, as it were.
I mean, was there any concern on your part going into watching the first episode? I mean, knowing sort of the major events that take place in Storm of Swords, that, you know, how exactly are they going to take us down the path? Because you don't want to do too much in season three and kind of shortchange season four.
Yeah. This season, I guess, is a little bit different than most in that they kind of have more time. And it was a little bit evident in the premiere episode that you could see that they were taking their time with the stories a little more and just trying to give each character, you know, a good amount of time on screen and, you know, not wanting to rush through it because, you know, they have two seasons to tell the story and it's such a good book and so many great moments to tell. There was definitely a noticeable change in pace, especially from season two, where they kind of crammed a lot into that season.
Yeah. Well, it's good that they're giving them that time because who knows how much time they have left.
Those characters.
That
was very generic. Okay. Very generic.
For you.
So last night was fun for Phil. It was fun for me. I'm sure it was fun for everybody else. But, you know, I think that we're still going to be inevitably, for the next handful of days, in like this shadow of pure hatred and jealousy for you. So I hope you can handle that. We do have a goo listener that happened to make a little stop last night at the premiere herself in Los Angeles. Elizabeth sent us in an email.
Yeah, she says, "Hi guys, last night I had the opportunity to attend the Game of Thrones season 3 premiere in Hollywood, as well as attend the after party." She's getting a drink on. Once in a lifetime experience that was so incredible that I'm still on a high from the night. Not just drink. At the premiere, I did get the opportunity to view the first episode of the season. I don't believe you will be disappointed. It didn't have any major, holy crap, what just happened moments. It was a very good start to what will be a very intense season. Well, perhaps she's read the books as well. Some of the highlights from the party were getting pictures with Peter Dinklage, Maisie Williams, Michelle Fairley, Sophie Turner, Isaac Wright, Natalia Tena, Liam Cunningham, and Carice Van Houten.
How do you say her name?
Yeah. You got it. Yeah, Carice Van Houten.
I was going to call her Carice.
Carice.
It's a real American way, a real American spin on it. Not to mention seeing so many of the other actors as well as the author. Seriously, an epic night. Thank you all for doing what
there you
do.
There you go, Micah.
It's been a long day. I'm sorry. I truly enjoy the podcast and the conversation. Elizabeth.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Now I'm jealous.
You know, but listen, this is where we can be like, oh, so Elizabeth, you got to do all that. That's fine. Well, Phil, I'm pointing at him right now. Phil's got 3 more episodes sitting at home. So
yeah. Very cool. You've succeeded, Elizabeth. Congratulations. And send us some photos, you know. We'd like to promptly burn them.
Yeah.
And if you guys would like to check out some more coverage from the red carpet, you can head over to winnerscoming.net. There's plenty of interviews over there with a lot of the actors from the series that were mentioned by Elizabeth, as well as good old George.
Yeah, sweet techno music.
Uncle Ray.
In there,
by the way, Phil, we call him Uncle Ray on the show.
What?
Listen.
Yeah, is that may seem disorienting.
Learn to love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down for anything.
Uncle Ray, he's just hanging out, cooking bacon for us in the morning.
Remodeling Micah's house.
What you working on, Uncle Ray? Writing a new book. I'm like, that's cool.
So continuing on our talking about season three, for those of us who weren't as lucky to have actually seen the episode, at least we have got some trailers, which are awesome. And the most recent one is called No Mercy, and it is so fantastic with kick-ass music that we're going to play it for you right now on the show and then talk about it.
Is there a dragon reflected in the water?
Or is that snow?
Yes.
Oh, it's water.
Look at Danny.
Beautiful shirt. He's got Velociraptor.
Gorgeous
thing
shirt. I love the shirt.
How long does it go on?
Ooh, mirror until shot. Dealt very with deep.
It's like a little selfie.
Yes.
Seven kingdoms.
Wow,
nice.
Shit, Tyrant's good.
The Night's Watch can't stop them.
Now, is
Kings
this Jojen?
I think it is. Yeah.
No, he's never been introduced.
Did you see Ghost?
We do not choose our destiny. We must do our duty now.
Wow.
Great or small, we must do our duty.
Explain to me how you proposed.
Army of nippled eunuchs.
Oh, you see that?
I am the
that
king.
Dragon was swimming.
He's the king, guys.
Everyone's
so. The dragon. Torment.
I shall show you no mercy.
Ooh, the Undertaker.
Nice juxtaposition there between
the
two
rulers. WWF.
I want that chest set.
Oh, the beard.
I'm going to light the biggest
that dude
fire
is crazy.
Link.
Oh, sex scene, guys. Sex scene. Two of them.
Big men fall just as quick as little ones.
Do you hear them screaming?
Holy
crap. Not a dialogue.
Oh, they're gods.
The wolf.
That was a bear.
A
bear. Bear.
Sure I saw
drink.
Bear.
Drink.
Somebody's undressing.
Ooh.
Ooh, wings.
I just got flamed.
Can I just first remark at how Danny has her dragon tethered to rope and it begins to blow fire towards the screen?
It's probably fireproof rope. Come on, Eric.
Fireproof yes. Rope. Yes, of course.
I think it exists, right?
Yeah.
Fireproof rope called chain?
Yes.
Well, dragon melts stone, so good luck with that.
Yeah, that's true.
I think this promo is absolutely epic. And I think that what sold it to me was, yeah, I'm pretty sure that is Jojen Reed's voice at some point. And just because he's one of my favorite characters coming into it. So just hearing him and being like, oh my God, Jojen is coming. .net.
Selena has her own fan site. She just did a shameless plug.
Launching. That's our next week's big announcement.
It's go. Very focused.
Yeah, really targeted in the niche market.
Yeah. I see big things though.
That was, I mean, can I just say that was one of the sharpest looking videos on YouTube I've ever seen? Does that just look great high res to you guys for some reason? I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Maybe I'm just being weird, but I was just like, I mean, that looked really nice. I'm not even sure if I have it on 1080 right now.
No, according to YouTube, I was watching it at 360, but you're right. It looked good.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe that has to do with what Phil was saying too about the scope and about how the cinematography is just really on par and
yeah,
really the production value is so high.
Or some of the guys over at HBO figured out a better encode setting for YouTube. They've already been sending me an email, man. I can use some of that. No, it's cool. It was so neat to see people like Ygritte standing in a different place.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And yeah. Just all of these characters that we're used to seeing in certain ways. Because I mean, we've only had two seasons. And even though that's so expansive, did last season not feel kind of claustrophobic to you guys?
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. It's always great to see the characters moving around. Danny, too, is going to be in a new place this year, which is going to be super exciting.
Yeah.
A whole host of new characters there that we kind of glimpsed.
Yeah, there are a few new locations coming up that really kind of expand the world even more.
And John's wolf was giant.
Yeah, the wolves are
Yeah, well, they keep
big.
Growing.
And the dragons, they keep growing.
Yes. It's like a contest to see who gets there first.
Yeah.
I want to see a wolf ride a dragon.
Well, you know, speaking metaphorically.
Or you could just play on the Alliance server on WoW and you can just Worgen can ride a dragon. No, this is too much.
Yeah. There's a lot of theories about that in the fandom. I'll leave it at that.
And now, Eric reads the tweets in 69 seconds or less.
Rose Sanders says, just read a Sam chapter in Game of Thrones and all I could think about was Micah's Sam voice.
Oh no.
What do you mean?
Pamelise Harris says, episode 66 of Game of Thrones, a whole episode of bears, and no rendition of Bear and the Maiden Fair? Some of us don't know what that is.
Fair and the maiden fair. There you go.
Phyllis Ashley says, my mind's boggled for March 31st. Phyllis. Quote, don't turn around. Uh-oh, the Kolossar's in town. Uh-oh.
Kolossar.
Uh-oh.
That's, of course, Der Kommissar. Ashley Worf, this made me think of you in light of the most recent Game of Bones episode. Oh, and it's a caloric intake rating chart of the Shamrock Shakes.
I had one yesterday. I had one yesterday for you.
How much calories in green
dye? Apparently it's
been
linked to cancer. Lara Hawk says, School of Thrones might officially have me on the Theon bandwagon. Blame it on Joey Richter and the adorable Bestie Lockets. Okay.
Oh, Nikita says,
Nikita says, Lord of the Rings references are cracking me up. I'm trying to be subtle about it because I'm at work. But let's face it, it's not working.
Oh, I see your pun.
Megan says, I haven't even gotten 5 minutes into the episode, and I'm already dying of laughter. And Mary D. finally says, all four hosts are back. And of course, dragons would sing Fire Woman by the Cult. Here you go. Of course, we're referring to the referring to the ending sentence of the first book, which is that the night came alive with the sound, the music of dragons. Bill, what kind of music do you think dragons would make?
Now you have to sing. Go.
Oh, jeez. This is not...
You should have heard us. We were all like, fire.
Yeah, that's how it went.
And that was Eric Skoll. Read the tweets. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, moving on now to my thing.
Selena's a bit of a diva.
Oh, my gosh. No, I just seriously, we've been sitting on this. Phil has this as well, so we'll both be talking about it, which is super exciting, which is just Tuesday morning, we launched this awesome contest on Hypeable, which I believe is going live on Wednesday on Winter's Coming. So this, correct, seriously, for Game of Thrones fans, we're giving you basically two chances to enter, which, well, you know, you're welcome. Because
yeah, right. That's awesome.
What we can both offer is... 10, well, you only get one if you win, absolutely beautiful customized Game of Thrones Season 3 kits, which is this gorgeous wooden box which contains
tell them what they won.
Seasons of Game of Thrones. Yeah, I feel like I'm on like the lottery. Yeah. I'm like holding out my hand as I present this wonderful prize.
It's on a rotating pedestal.
Yeah, you didn't get the car, but this is the
consolation prize.
This is
a deliciously nice wooden box.
It's
filled with
it
trinkets.
It has the two DVD/Blu-ray box. I can't. You guys have ruined it for me.
It's really cool, Selena. You got it. It's so cool.
It is amazing. Yes, it needs no spinning thing.
I saw a picture of this, and I have to say I was outraged that House Greyjoy does not appear on the hand-carved exterior of the wooden box. However, you know, four main houses do appear on the outside, and it made me want this box a lot. And apparently, as it is noted, celebrities are getting this box. It's the box that HBO is sending to the VIPs of the world.
Yeah, I mean, mine should be coming any day.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it hasn't come yet, but I'm expecting it.
Well, Phil, you're getting one.
Yeah, that's what they told me.
Well,
we'll see.
Everybody's so cool.
We only associate ourselves with cool people. Then we're cool by connection.
Yeah. Well,
proximity.
Hey, you know what? Everybody listening, you're cool too. Do you know why? Because this is a really strange podcast. This is a podcast that people get together and they talk about something else that was made up by someone else and you're listening to it. So you're awesome that you're listening to it.
It's a great place for people to share their thoughts on the show and get other people who might be interested in Game of Thrones interested in Game of Bones. And so that's why we say nothing less than 5 stars is acceptable. And if for any reason that is the case, Phil has told me in confidence that he will in fact release the summaries with spoilers of the first four episodes of season 3.
Guys, if you don't give us 5 stars, you could ruin many lives of many people.
Yes.
And he's going to email each of you all individually. We all have all your emails. And so it's going to show up. And if that's not good enough, he'll send it to your home. And
I'll show up at your door.
He'll hack
your
TVs.
I'm going to be with them in a trench coat, but only a trench coat. So damn it. Now they're going to review low. Okay, listen. But,
wow.
In all seriousness, guys, the new season is approaching. A brand new goo. I mean, the same goo that you know and love, but with some new fun faces. Phil's going to be great to have on often. And I know that he's going to be joining us for the first episode of the season So yes. That's going to be a fun first episode. You get to review an episode that you saw weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to being
actually,
able
he's
to...
just going
to
record his audio tomorrow, and then we're just going to edit it
in. I'm looking forward to actually be able to talk in detail with everyone about it.
It's going to be a good time.
So it should be fun.
And you will.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to look forward to. We have something like 3, 4, 5. There's a handful of episodes left between now and then. And like we said, we have some fun things planned. We have some cool interviews. And it's going to be a nice little handful of shows before the new season starts. So we're all super excited about it.
Yeah.
And spring.
Keep listening to Game of Owns and also check out winterscoming.net. And you can follow us on Twitter at WickNet, WICNET, and Facebook.com/WickNet. So do that. And then give a 5-star review.
Yeah. Please give a 5-star review to our iTunes feed.
I told you. I told you he was in on it already.
Guys, it works. The secret, the myth is true. Winter is coming. Winter has came. Winter is here. Raise your hands in the air if you don't care. I'm Zach Lewis.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Selena Wilkin.
I'm Mike Attenborough.
And I'm Phil Dicking.
Winterfell.
It's like Winterfell. I just this doesn't occur to me.
Jeez, this is like the one at the end of the last week's episode.